Welcome back to Community Connections. I have with me, because it's the fourth Wednesday of the month, between 1 and 2, our local MP, Cindy McLeish. How are you, Cindy?
I'm very well, thank you, Alan. I'm a little bit weather-beaten, I'd say, though.
Yeah, well, I was mentioning on air that at the 12 o'clock news it was 14, and that's the top for the day, and I thought it was going to get warmer, but... When I look up now, it's gone to 12, and you're saying it's even getting worse than that outside.
Well, my car said 9, and I only had to walk 50 metres from the car to here, and I got blown away, and my umbrella nearly turned inside out, and I felt the cool. I came in actually being a bit cold.
Not a good day. Cindy, we had a retired doctor in from Rotary to tell us all about the Dog's Day out that was coming up, but you've been there and it's all been had. Tell us all about it, please.
Yeah, look, Dr. Tinney would have came in. He's a retired GP and Rotarian. Yep. And the Healesville Rotary Club did a really good job. You know, they've got a couple of young people too that are really involved and active, and... I was asked, well, I was always going to come along and see, but I had to judge a couple of events.
Oh, no.
I know. Like, it's so hard.
So you got out without the blinching because everybody thinks they should win.
Oh, well, the first one I had to judge was Cutest Dog.
Oh, no.
And I chose, you know, obviously, and one of my staff was there with her two children, and her youngest came up and said, I thought such and such was the cutest dog.
Oh, no.
I thought I was putting my place by her. But to make it worse, they were all puppies. They were all under 1 year old.
Oh,
so
no.
It didn't matter. They were all cute.
And I guess, and we'll just talk a bit more about this, but I guess the one thing that we should mention that with Rotary, whatever money they made that day goes back into the community, doesn't it?
Oh, exactly, exactly.
And nothing of it goes in administration.
Look, and, you know, they had really a good number of, well, great attendance, actually. It was people coming and going all day. But they also had a lot of stalls and things like that and set up on the... It was at the Pony Club in Healesville, which has got quite a bit of space. So you've got an arena so they could have some little dog trick things. But they had plenty of room for people to show their dogs and...
terrific.
And the like. And then I had to choose Gentle Giant.
Oh, now, how did you pick one of those?
Well, three of them looked the same.
Yeah.
They were, and they were gorgeous, you know. They were big dogs, and it was, I don't know if it was a Great Dane, but it was a big one. I reckon it might have been Weimaraner or something like that. A friend of mine had a dog that looked quite similar, and this little kid having a hole in it, and, you know, and we interviewed each one, and it was like Michael, who's a past president, and you know, I said to the little boy, does he eat a lot? And he goes, oh, yeah, more than you. Yeah, he eats heaps. So does he weigh more than you? And he's like, yeah, absolutely, you know.
You didn't have to judge one that where the dog looked most like the owner, did you?
No, I didn't. But, you know, when they're all being judged, they lie down and they, you know, they all start showing off.
Did I?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And then there was one guy who, you know, one of his big dogs had said that he was really good with the baby, and they had it like a 10-month-old kid, and it was hard, but it was really good. They had so many categories.
That's terrific.
Aaron Violi, who was the federal member, he had to do the most handsome dog, and there were a couple of dogs that were really unusual looking, and they were beautiful and beautifully groomed and everything like that. So, you know, people went into a bit of effort, but you had the longest tail and, yeah, like all different types of
that's terrific,
events, yeah.
So, and it got everybody out and in the community again?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And as I said, it was, you know, a good crowd, and you've got parking there and you've got facilities and stuff like that.
And well done to Rotary.
Well done to Rotary and to, I'm sure that having the use of the Pony Club in Healesville's facilities was a really good thing to them. So well done to everybody who was out and about for Healesville Rotary.
Terrific. Now, you want to talk about the naming of a pavilion.
Well, what also happened was, I think the day before in Healesville, it was a very big day that day, they named a pavilion at the Healesville Bowling Club the Beryl Ayres Pavilion. Now, a lot of people, particularly if you're bowlers, would know Beryl. And Beryl's been an institution at the Healesville Bowling Club for ages, like decades.
Yep.
Decades. Absolutely. And what I really loved is they had an old little pavilion thing. So it's not the clubhouse. So you've got your regular clubhouse at Healesville, yeah. The big clubhouse. But they had this little white pavilion that had fallen into a bit of disrepair, and so they got a council grant, put some money in, and did some, I think people might have done some in-kind work as well. So Fiona, the mayor, the local member, Fiona McAllister, yeah. unveiled it. But it was just this old pavilion that had really been run down,
yep.
and it was so good to be able to preserve that,
yeah.
From heritage point of view, and to name it after Beryl Ayres, and Beryl's getting on now, quite on.
And I bet she's really happy for it to be.
Look, the family were there with her, a son and daughter, and it was really good. And Beryl could be there. She's, suffering a little bit at the moment, being very elderly.
Yeah.
But one of her best friends was there too, and a really good turnout from the Healesville Bowling Club. So, that's a really good feel-good story from all angles.
Oh, that's terrific. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Rolling, there I want to roll away again.
I'm talking to Cindy McLeish, our local MP, and Cindy's been talked about the Dogs Day Out, a number of things, but Cindy, there are a lot of talented people around here. I must say I'm not one of them, but anyway, there's a lot coming up.
There is, and I'm not one of them either. But and we're talking about arts and being creative and talented in that field. But I remember being at an opening of an art exhibition one time, and I think it was in Mansfield, and the woman who was opening it had done a lot of art and art teaching, and she said, everyone can draw. You know, and you can. Some people are better than others.
I was going to say, some are a lot better than others.
And she, you know, she said, but, you know, you do pick up and people doodle and do this and that, but there are some people with exceptional talents. And
absolutely.
The Yarra Valley is loaded with them, you
know. Well, it seems to be, doesn't it? There's plenty around.
Yeah, and the Upper Yarra as well. And there's so many around that when they're doing their open studios, it's not just on one weekend anymore. They have them on two weekends, so you can... And I think previously, you know, they've had the Melba Highway and the Maroondah Highway and the Warburton Highway.
Oh,
they've
yeah.
kind of had them separated. But we've got YAVA, which is the Yarra Valley Arts, which is a whole bunch of volunteers. They've got a studio space in Healesville that have really been driving arts in the area as a bit of a destination too for people to go. They have exhibitions. They have workshops. So they have a whole lot of really good stuff.
Yep.
But they've got the Yarra Valley Arts coming up, so...
The open studios. Yep.
So we've just had, actually, the 21st and 22nd, which is just the last weekend in the Yarra Valley.
Yep.
But the Upper Yarra Valley as well is this 4th and 5th of November. So that's the next... Is that this weekend? No, the weekend after. I lose track of time. But because they have such a comprehensive guide about where to go, what sort of art people have, if you missed out on things in the Yarra Valley last week, it's still really easy to go on the website, have a look who was open, and to sometimes, you know, that you can do the studio visits at any...
Yep, some are welcome, but don't they? Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's all sorts of mediums. It's not just, you know, paintings and sculptures.
Well,
and
even in paintings, like there's different varieties, acrylic and all this sort of stuff, isn't there?
Oh, look, there is. And in the Upper Yarra, there's a fabulous Sue Dolman who does a lot of sculptures, and she does big work. Big work. So if you go to the Werribee Park Open Range Zoo, at the entrance, there's a massive concrete giraffe, and yeah, there's animals, and it's like they're huge, huge, five times the size of us. And she's also got a really creative house in Warburton, and she's done the steps at the water wheel in Warburton, and the RSL have got a really great big mosaic wall there too that Sue's done. And, you know, she's an exceptionally talented artist, but, you know, you've got a whole lot. You've got a lot of people doing watercolour and glass. I've been to one of the glass ones in Don Valley previously.
When you say glass, you need glass blowing, or what do they do with the glass?
Different types. So kiln form glass, so, you know, they're just still smaller, flatter things. There is a guy just across the road from here that does glass blowing.
And does he?
Yeah, they're fantastic, but they've changed their business actually in the last year or two, maybe more, to embedding ashes of loved ones and animals and other things into the glass, so it's a memorial.
They make some sort of statue or something.
Or whatever you work with them to create. But they're, you know, really talented glass blowers, and I've bought a lot of gifts from them in the past when they did regular glass. But, you know, even from wood carving, and there's a really talented young woman, Shlomit, in Warburton, who Wesburn over there, who's done wood carvings. And one time she did this amazing thing. She had photos of about 10 or 11 different local identities and had a photo, like, of them, and then they came in and modelled, and then she did mini wood carvings about, you know, 18 inches high and of them all. Yeah, so there's some... And it was fantastic because when she had the opening, all the people were there, and there were a lot of people that you knew around the area. And so there's some really, really clever people that do some great work. And it's wonderful to support them because it helps bring people out to the area and it creates, you know, jobs, not their jobs, but...
People buy coffees and they go to the bakeries.
And they go to lunch or they do, you know, different things. And so it's really important, you know, if you can to... And it's a lovely day. It's a really lovely day to go and pop into two or three studios.
And we come in the nice weather.
Let's hope.
So hopefully not this weekend, this weekend.
You know, and he, look, recycled metal and that's Graham Hardage. I've actually got some of one of his sculptures at home. He and his wife, she does painting and pottery, and I bought something at a sculpture exhibition at Akron at Marion Rennie's, and she did Bev did the pottery part and he did the metal part, and it's a combination of gum nuts. So, like, it's really quite cool. But, you know, this Murrindindi have got... Dindi Arts coming. Oh, they've just had theirs, and Nilambic have got theirs coming up in November as well. So there's lots of great art stuff around. So I really encourage people to think of something different. You know, you can even take the kids. Often they have little workshop things for the kids to play with and get a bit of a feel. Different ones will. So.
And the other thing is Christmas is coming up. We're all looking for Christmas presents.
We're all looking for Christmas presents.
All right, we'll take another quick break and we'll be back with more. Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm talking to our local MP, Cindy McLeish. Cindy, you want to talk about gridiron. I didn't think there was any of it out here, but...
Who would have thought? And I just wanted to give this a quick little mention for something different, and this was in Alexandra, so it's a little bit of a distance from where we are, but one of the... Well, who's involved with the Thornton Eildon Football Club, who've only got a women's club, not a... haven't been able to field a men's team for a while. Yep. But he's also a gridiron player, and there's a gridiron competition in the city.
Is there? Yeah.
There is. And it was Knox versus the Southeast Predators, I think it was. Not Knox, Monash versus the Southeast Predators. So it was a real fixtured game in Melbourne, but they relocated it to Alexandra at the football
club. That'd be terrific.
Well, it was, you know, and they had a lot of activity during the day. I think they had the seconds... and then the firsts.
Yeah.
I tell you, it goes a long time. Someone told me that there was 7 minutes on the clock or 4 minutes on the clock, and it took 20. Someone might be a couple of minutes to, you know, and it took 20 minutes because it's stop, start, and they bring all people. But, you know, Matt Herridge, actually, the guy who has the connection with both, I reckon they had a lot more spectators in Alex than they would have had down in Melbourne, like just for, you know.
Just brought everybody out there.
Yeah, it brought everybody out. And and this, I guess, is a spirit of volunteerism.
Yeah.
I was in Eildon at the in a town, you know, handing a flag to the RSL, and they said, oh, no, we're all going in. And they said, you know, it's a big effort for him to do this, and so we need to support him. And I thought, wasn't that great? And I think so many community members thought, this is a bit different.
Yeah.
And they did go along and they did support the event, and they had, you know, brisket, which was really nice. I don't know why we don't have as much brisket as we do.
It is nice.
Yeah, that, you know, just as, you know, if you go somewhere and they have a spit roast and meat in the a roll, you know, it was kind of like, I think they served the brisket on chips. I had some, it was really good. Yeah. But the level of support and the number of people, and then it ended up being at night and they had fireworks,
so
and
they
had
made
it into a really big deal. So all of these people from the city would have come up and thought, wow, we've got a real crowd and we've got a real event here. But you know, it was terrific.
And it's a pleasant little drive.
Very pleasant little drive. Very pleasant. But it was this something different, and the spirit of volunteerism and what you can do.
Volunteers can achieve a lot. Now, Halloween's coming up, and I believe there's a ghost train.
Well, for years, the Yarra Valley Railway, the volunteer railway, had the ghost train on Halloween, and, you know, they had a lot of works going on sometimes, and then we had COVID, and, you know, they've really come back with a bang. So they've got two things. So they've got the ghost train.
Yeah.
Which is terrific. So you launch off from Healesville, and on the 27th and 28th of October, which is
this weekend.
Yep. And then, so that's, you know, the bit spooky, and, you know, they have actors, I think it is, that in the past that they've had that have come on and done the spooky stuff.
Yep.
But sometimes people are a little bit, you know, that's a bit tough for them. So they've got for the little kids as well, the little train of spooks as well, which is kind
of... little train of spooks.
Yeah. So that's for pre- and primary school-age children and their families. So, that's a bit of fun. But the Halloween stuff, it's not, you know, like it goes till 11 o'clock at night. There's a couple of, you know, on the Friday, 8, 9, 10 and 11...
Is that this Friday?
Yeah, Friday the 27th.
Yep.
And on Saturday, 7, 8, 9, 10 and 11. So they've got lots of opportunities for you to go. And they've had the signs up. I haven't been, but I have heard that it's a really good...
should be a good weekend.
Yeah, should be a good weekend.
And we should remind people too that those trains, not the ghost train, but they do run... trains every weekend, every Saturday and Sunday, because I can hear them down
behind
outside.
Yeah, they do, and it's all volunteer driven, you know, and which is amazing. And Alexandra have the old timber tramway, that they have a tram as well up there, again volunteer driven. And there's lots of these heritage railway sites and activities, you know, in many areas of the state. And so for people that are right into it, but it's fun, you know. Puffing Billy gets talked about all the time.
Yeah, but that's a major... But there are heaps of other smaller ones.
That's right. But look, last year, actually, I went on Puffing Billy at night. So they had all lit up, and it was...
Really?
And so as you went along the line, and there's these big gentle curves, you can see, depending where you are in a train, you can see another part of the train, and you can see all the colours that are lit up.
Oh, yeah.
And they had things on the way, and when you got to the destination before you turned around... Yeah, they had 44-gallon drums full of fire because it was pretty cold. But, yeah, that was something different as well. Yeah. And so, yeah, this is in this whole area. There's a lot of really cool stuff to do.
And as you said, it's all powered by volunteers.
So much of it is powered by volunteers.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrific. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Certain kind of light that never shone somebody, tell her to love somebody the way I love you.
FM 99.1 is now broadcasting from new studio facilities at 9 Lilydale Road, Healesville.
Sound so true, it almost startles you.
Feel free to get in touch via email info@yarravalleyfm.org.au. Call us on 59615991.
It's only the beginning.
Reception so clear, performance so great, you'll wonder what you've been missing.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. Always.
And welcome back, and we talk to Cindy McLeish. Now, Cindy, you took one look at me and said donkey. But at least you added festival after it. So tell us about the donkey festival.
Look, it's in its early stages, but in 2015, I think it was, January 2015, a local Warburton, East Warburton woman, Linda Jay, organised a donkey festival out at Wesburn Park.
Right.
And she's organising another one for January. And it was just, it was so funny. It was so good. Like, I had such a ball going to it.
Are there that many donkeys around? I wouldn't have thought there was that many people had donkeys.
Well, you would be. Not on the right tram there. There are donkeys everywhere.
Oh,
yeah. All shapes and sizes. So they had different events, and they had, you know, a vet talking about caring for donkeys, and they had little donkeys, like a whole lot of miniature donkeys and larger ones. And there was the facility there with the horse club at Wesburn,
yeah,
or the pony club, horse club, is really well suited for the donkey festival. And I was surprised how many, like, the people did come and travel, but there were so many locals there with donkeys. And And look, it was just a really...
I wouldn't have thought there were that many around, to be honest with you.
It was a really good, fun event. So I just wanted to flag it that is coming up...
In January.
In January. That's the plan. And it's, you know, in its early stages. But, you know, and I think there, if I remember correctly, there is, you know, there are donkey shows that travel around. You know, have annual events and things like that. But I remember there was... donkey rides, there was all sorts of stuff, and it was just jolly good fun, and there were lots of kids, and, you know, something different. And again, this is something unique about the area, that you've got people that are going to, you know, not sit back and wait for something to happen. They're going to make it happen.
They got out and made it happen themselves. I'm just amazed that there's so many donkeys around, to be honest.
Yeah, I was too, actually. And they're really quite cute, because you've got the bigger ones that people might think of normally.
Right.
But there's lots of smaller and different types.
How short?
A metre high?
Little ones are small.
Mm, yeah, maybe a little bit taller. Maybe a metre 10, metre 15.
So, obviously, they must be a good pet, because, I mean, there's not much else you can do with a donkey, is it, other than be a pet? I mean,
no, in the old days, I used to do a lot of the donkey work. Carrying the packs and stuff like that.
Now, you wanted to talk about somebody else too. You were going to mention somebody about a garden.
Oh, I was going to talk about Philip Johnson.
Yep.
And people might know Philip Johnson. He's a local in the area, and he, in 2013, along with Wes Fleming and I think somebody else was involved, they created an award-winning design at the Chelsea Flower Show in London. Yeah, and that was huge. It was really big. And when you go to like the International Flower and Garden Show, you've got something almost the size of the office that we're sitting in, or the studio that we're sitting in, a few metres by a few metres. And he created that with the key features of being eye level for Her Majesty, the Queen Elizabeth, because she goes to the show. Yep. And I think she got into trouble because she stopped to talk to him. and she was with Harry at the time. And, I think Her Majesty was like 5'3" or something like that. And he had the key part of the sculpture was at her eye level. And Harry said to her, "Hey, Granny, it looks good from your level." And she said, "How do you know what it looks good?" And he goes, "Oh, I bend down and I get down to 5'3" and then I have a look and I realise that's your height or whatever. And he was there and he's got these great, moments of that he's captured. But he's created at the Old Olinda Golf Course, which is on the back of the Dandenong, one of the parks in Dandenong Ranges, which is it's a really lovely park in any event, but you've got his work and it's exceptional. It's really exceptional. Mm-hmm. There's waterfalls, there's this huge sculpture. So that one that was at the Queen's eye level, the middle of it, is now a really big piece. He sourced rock from Mansfield and from the Western District, and he sought grafted plants from places all over the country. I don't know how he found the time to go and source these really unusual plants. And there's something happening in every month of the year sort of thing. The garden always looks good. There's a lot of frogs and different things. And I was lucky enough to go there with one of my friends and with one of my staff members one day. And Philip showed us around and talked about it. And his passion and enthusiasm...
Terrific.
It was just so extraordinary. The parking's a bit challenging on a busy day, I imagine, but I forget what day of the week it was. It might have been a Friday morning, Thursday, Friday morning. And there were a lot of people there. I bumped into people I knew there. I'm like, oh, there. But, his reputation's fantastic. Yeah. And, he's sort of got to kind of maintain it for the next 10 years, I think it is, which is, pretty challenging on his part to be able to do. It's free to get in at the moment, certainly. But he's done a great job, and I really encourage people to get over and have a look. And there's one path that looks like it goes nowhere, but his future vision is that's the entrance for his bit, because it's got the view, the long view. And we were saying to people, you need to go to the end. He says you got to go to the end and look back and take the photo. And I took a number of photos. I posted them on Facebook and, it was just a popular post because people really liked it. So hasn't been open very long, just a few months. But if you want a garden, again, another great attraction out here.
Up here. All right, we'll take another quick break.
Let's go party.
Now, Cindy, you want to talk about a dam that's got friends.
A dam that's got friends.
Well, people that do a lot
Maroondah Reservoir Park, Maroondah Dam in Healesville. Yeah. And for the last couple of years, they've had a dedicated group of volunteers.
Again, volunteers,
doing the work of perhaps, you know, what should be done by government. But anyway, it's not being done. And so April Meredith has been coordinating a group. And, you know, they go down there on a Saturday morning, not every Saturday morning. Yep. And they've done a great job fixing up the sundial. And then it was the rose garden. There's a beautiful rose staircase. And, you know, some of the roses were in really ordinary condition, and so, as was the staircase, and some were dead. And so, you know, they've just had a big rose planting thing to rebuild that. So bit by bit, and they've got a plan that was developed a number of years ago, but it's not been implemented, but they're starting, you know, to do that. Now, this is a great job by a group of volunteers, and so if you're looking for something to do, check out Friends of Maroondah Dam and go and help on a Saturday morning.
It's marvellous how much work gets done by volunteers, isn't it?
Oh, it's extraordinary, actually.
Now, we're also going to... Well, first of all, you want to mention an award that's come into Healesville, just down the road.
Just down the road, just across the road. And what's happened, we've got Four Pillars, well-known gin distillery that's done, you know, exceptionally well since its inception, and not that long ago, really.
No, it hasn't been there for a long while, has it?
No. You know, they started off at... doing it at Rob Dolan over at Warrandyte. He's Rob Dolan's got wine. Yep. And they started there before they found their own premises, and then they had to expand. They've doubled the footprint across the road here.
And they've just won a major award.
They have. They've taken gold at the 2023 International Wine and Spirits Comp in London. It's a third time.
That's against...
Worldwide.
It is.
Yeah. They've just done so well, and they've got a great business across there. And they won a couple of years ago, and I'm not sure if they had back to back. Yeah, they did. They had 2019 and 2020. So had a bit of a, you know, not number one, but they're still right up there. And they've just been, you know, such a successful product. You look at a lot of the bars in the city and pubs and things like that. We'll have the Four Pillars gin for gin and tonic. It was Gin and Tonic Day last week, International Gin and Tonic Day, apparently. I was having a gin and tonic on that day, and someone said, oh, you know, good thing. It's a But congratulations to, you know, Matt and Cam and Stu for the work that they've been doing over the last period of time. They've just, you know, local business does really well. And to take out a big international award like that for the third time, and I think they might be the only one that's actually done it three times.
Gee, that's terrific.
Yeah.
Now, learning centres.
Oh, look, we have a lot of places where people can go and learn different skills. So, you know, in Yarra Glen, you've got the Living and Learning Centre, you've got Healesville Living and Learning Centre, and, you know, at Wurrialik, they've got the Community House that they often, you know, community houses often will run courses, King Lake do as well. Yep. And, you know, it's a they're really great places to go to hook into other people, not just learn something, yeah. something new and a bit different, but you can meet people who might be like you. So, you know, they have art workshops. I'm just having a look at one of the ones here. You know, there's health and wellness, well-being classes. That might be Pilates or particular type of yoga or meditation. There's craft, kitchen stuff, French for beginners. You know, there's so many different types, different courses. And
the Wiri Alec, I know for a start off, they have a drop-in for young mums who are stuck at home that, you know, don't get out much, and so there's something for them there, and also for the elderly.
That's right, and that was right next door to the old studio, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But at Healesville, you know, they've got Auslan as well as the women's shed. There's computers and different things. I think most people are becoming quite familiar with computers and iPads and stuff these days.
Well, you need to be, don't you?
Yeah, they've still got gremlins. We've just changed our parliament system over, and everyone's had conniptions. But you know, if you're looking for something, you know, you're a little bit lonely or isolated, doing one of these courses. And for some people, it's a way of being socially connected. And for other, depending what course it is, it might be the first step to you doing something else.
And it's also, let's be honest, it's reasonably cheap. It's you know, it's not going to cost a person a fortune.
No, it's not going to cost you a fortune at all.
Which is terrific.
That's right. You know, some of it, you know, understanding native plants or writing stories and things like that. And you never know where it can lead. With Auslan, that can actually lead to a whole lot of, you know, we work interpreting if you stick at it and do, you know, you start somewhere. So there's a lot of really good stuff that's on offer if you look for it.
Which is really good.
Yeah.
Cindy, we've still got a couple of minutes. What else would you like to tell the listeners about?
Carers Week.
When's that?
I think it's just been. But 11.8% of people in Heels will provide care for someone with a disability, and that's a little bit above the state.
11.8%.
Yeah,
this is
through the Living and Learning Centre. So I think it was the week last week. So we weren't in last week. And there's so much unpaid work in the carers. You know, the carers economy, I guess you call it.
Yep.
You know, and it can save the national economy $77 billion if, you know, you looked at, added up all the hours that it was that people do this sort of work. And, you know, the monetary value of unpaid care is like $650 billion. So,
yeah, you know, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
It really is. And people don't do it for money at all. They do it for love and for...
And if they didn't do it, who would do it?
That's right. And I think often when people have a loved one who has a disability, who was born with a disability, or who becomes disabled, they do it out of love, and they work out how to make it work with their family. But every now and again, you know, people get worn out.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, you might need some respite or something like that, and there's people around that can help with that. But I wanted to give a big shout-out for the many carers.
And I think also, while we're talking about the community houses, I think some of those also run a session for the carers where they can just go and be with other carers and, you know, tell their problems.
Yeah. And different community houses run different programs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes it's like the men's sheds or women's sheds or the quilters groups and things like that. They sit around and talk, and they talk about some of their issues. And for sometimes when people are older, they might talk about challenges with their kids or their grandchildren and, you know, and helps talk things through.
Yeah. Cindy, we seem to have some crackling on the line. I'm not sure what that is, but we'll still keep going. So what else? We've got about a minute and a half. Cindy, what would you like to talk about?
I've got something really interesting that I'm doing on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And I'm going to the National Day of Uganda.
Hey, where about?
Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
Sunshine. So the role of the MP, you know, we have lots of different hats, and this is one through small business that I was involved in. I'm Shadow Minister for Small Business, and I went to an African Entrepreneurs Conference where you had a lot of people from the African diaspora, really, like from every country you could think of, where there's entrepreneurs. And I was connected with a few different groups from different countries, and they've invited me to their Uganda Day, which is looks like a bit of fun. And one of my colleagues was in Africa recently, and she was in Ghana, and she brought me back a dress, and they've given me approval to wear a Ghana dress at the Uganda.
Without going too much, what's the difference between a normal dress and a Uganda dress?
I don't know how different a Uganda dress is from a Ghana dress, but you know, it's kind of a white coarse fabric, but with, you know, really bright stripes down the sides and stuff like that, with a drawstring. So I look forward to being actively involved, and I'm glad that I can wear that because I didn't want to offend them by wearing the wrong dress.
Sydney, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
It's been great having you. We'll have you back again in November, and that'll be the last one for the year. The year's gone very quickly.
Goodness, 2 months till Christmas.
Yeah. Have you got all your Christmas shopping done?
Ha-ha. I don't even know what I'm doing for Christmas.
Next question?
Yeah, next question.
All right, thanks very much, Sydney. Bye.
Bye.